Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle, Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 20. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may put our hope in you and live with love for one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is Christ the King Sunday. It's also, of course, Confirmation Sunday. But I want to start the sermon today not by thinking about Christ the King as such, or indeed confirmation, but marriages. Indeed, Christian marriages, and indeed marriages that happen even in this church building. As we come along to marriages, whether we are single or married ourselves, we hear a man and a woman promise to be faithful to each other as long as they both shall live. We also hear the confirming words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "What God has joined together, let no one separate." So whether we come to a marriage as single or married people, we hear the couple make their vows, and we hear their vows confirmed, strengthened by God's word. If we are married, we sense that attending a marriage is a call by God to us to reaffirm our own marriage vows and to be encouraged by God's word to live faithfully in marriage. If we are single, we receive again God's teaching on marriage and consider what it means to live faithfully as a single person, and perhaps what it would mean for us to receive the calling to live in the state of holy marriage. Now, today we hear young people make their promises, and we see them receive strength in their life of faith as they receive blessing in God's name through the laying on of hands. If we come today as baptized people who confess the faith, we can be encouraged as we receive God's word. And if we're not baptized or do not confess the faith, we can consider what the life of faith with God might look like for us, and what it would mean to be called into the life of faith. Now, we'll get to the promises made today in confirmation later on, but first I want to start with some verses from the Colossians reading. Listen to what St. Paul writes in today's epistle. "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." Now, St. Paul here is sharing a prayer that he prays with his co-worker Timothy for the Colossian Christians. It's good for us to understand here that St. Paul is not telling the Colossian Christians to do anything. Rather, he is giving them encouragement by sharing the prayer that he makes for them. To understand this, perhaps think about how someone may have spoken up for you in a time of need and then shared with you what they've said. Or imagine that you're going for a job and you're friends with a businessman's son. And he tells you what he said to his dad about you. "Don't worry, I've told Dad that you're a good worker. You're smart, you'll get the job done." If you heard your friend say that, you would be encouraged as you face the interview with the boss. Your friend would not be telling you to do anything, simply encouraging you by saying how he's spoken up for you before his dad. Now, the apostles here again are sharing the prayer that they are making to the Father in heaven. They are praying, speaking up for the Colossian Christians. And it's good for us to, as we read the scriptures, consider these prayers and think about the apostles not simply as people who teach or tell us what to do, but people who are given a gift by God to pray for those in their care. So Paul then shares with us these words. He, that is God the Father, has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now again, St. Paul here is not telling us to do anything. Rather, he's reminding us of what God graciously has done for us. Let's pause here and think about the imagery at work in these words. First, it's the imagery of God taking the initiative, coming in as somebody who rescues. You've seen rescue workers do their job. Maybe you've seen a rescue worker lowered from a helicopter, saving someone remotely injured. I should say injured in a remote region, right? The person can't do anything about their situation. They must wait for help. Someone comes in and rescues them, takes the initiative, helps them where they cannot help themselves. This, St. Paul is saying, is what God has done for us. We could not rescue ourselves from the power of darkness. Note, by the way, that St. Paul talks about the power of darkness. But when he talks about God rightly as a person. God has taken the initiative, rescued us from spiritual sickness, brought us into health, rescued us from the power of darkness, from being controlled by forces that we cannot see or understand, of not knowing where we're going in life. God has rescued us from this and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, to his Son in his glorious kingdom. But of course we know as Christian people that Christ is a different sort of king. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's a day when we as Christian people acknowledge and confess that no merely human ruler is Lord of our lives, that no mere human being has the power to tell us who we are or what our future is. Rather, it is Christ Jesus who was mocked, spat upon, who was flogged and crowned with thorns, who was enthroned on the cross. It is Christ Jesus who is our true King and true Lord. He has authority to give us status in the household of God. And he brings us into a future that God creates. So today is a day when we confess that Jesus and his path to kingship was not achieved through force or compulsion, but through his sacrificial death, a death that brought us into a kingdom where God's peace reigns. This is how St. Paul puts it in today's reading. For in Christ Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. So we Christians acknowledge that it is God who graciously brings us into his royal family and who brings us peace through Jesus' shed blood, blood shed for the forgiveness of sins, and blood shed to bring us peace with God and with each other. Now this confession of faith is at the heart of today's confirmation rite. In a wedding, we hear a man and a woman vow to be faithful to each other as long as they both shall live. But listen to the promise that is part of confirmation. The young people will be asked this. You young people well know that you'll be asked this. Since you are God's children through holy baptism, do you intend to listen to the preaching of God's word and to receive the supper of our Lord? First, there is the acknowledgement of belonging, that in baptism we have already been transferred into the kingdom of the Son. All this is gift. And then there's the promise to live as children of the royal household by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we hear God's word spoken to us, God's Spirit comes to us, and so we can live as true children of the royal household. As we receive the body and blood of Christ given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, we receive the Holy Spirit of God, so that we can live as free children in the household and not as fearful slaves. In other words, we have encouragement to live with God as people who receive what God has to give, and to let God's Spirit shape our lives in love for each other as we walk in the light of God. Now, there's one more promise that's part of the confirmation rite. Here it is. Do you intend to remain faithful to the teaching of the Lutheran Church as you've learnt it in Martin Luther's small catechism? And this second promise is really a way of affirming the first one. The point is not that we are loyal to Luther, but that we are loyal to Jesus. Because if you read the small catechism, Luther does not write about Luther, he writes about Jesus. In fact, listen to these words from the Small Catechism, which are a wonderful summary of the teaching we get in the Colossians reading today. Jesus rescued me when I was lost and sentenced to death. He set me free from all my sins, from death and from the power of the devil. It cost him more than gold or silver. It cost him his life. Even though he was holy and innocent, he suffered and died for me. Jesus did this so that I can belong to him and he can rule over me as my king. I can live under him and serve him, innocent and happy forever, just as he was raised to life and lives and rules forever. This is certainly true. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Today we confess together the kingship of Christ, and we acknowledge that God has brought us into his kingdom, not because we have a claim to it, but because he is gracious, and because Christ, who reigned from the cross, showed us that true authority reveals itself in a love that is willing to suffer, and a love that is stronger than death. Today is also Confirmation Sunday, where we who are baptized are free to reaffirm our own promises to God and to receive again the word and the sacrament through which we receive the Holy Spirit of God and so are sustained in the life of faith and love. And it's a day when those of us here who are not baptized or who do not confess the faith can consider what it looks like and what it means to respond to God's call in faith. Young people getting confirmed today, God bless you as you take this next step in the path of faith. God bless you in your future as you listen to God's word proclaimed to you and so receive the Spirit of God. God bless you as you eat and drink the body and blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, and where you not only receive forgiveness as a gift from God and his Spirit, but that you see that God builds you up in love for your Christian brothers and sisters, and that all this comes as gift to us. Dear people of God, we have a just and gentle King who has shown us true authority in his suffering, his life, his death, and now who lives as the one who has conquered death. May we always hear his word, stand up before him and confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And please stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.